Everybody lift your voice all over this world and say, God favors me.
God favors me.
KKAYT 88.1 FM. 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you. By our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
I want to talk to you from a few verses of scripture, some things I chew on. Sometimes I think I can make a meal of and give it to you to chew on. Amen? And so I hope you're ready to chew. Get your dentures and put them in. Amen. Your spiritual dentures. And get ready to chew this up. Amen. Amen. The book of Ruth has something for us. The book of 1 Samuel has something for us. And Psalm 34 has something for us. Amen. Amen. The book of Ruth, it has a story of a young lady who followed her mother-in-law, who gave her permission to go on do what she had to do. But she decided to follow her mother-in-law, and she followed her into a blessing. Amen. Now, we're still in the mode of talking about trials and how we can do certain things in trials that will help us get through so that we'll become triumphant in the trials. Amen. So when we talk about this, I want you to keep in mind what she did to get through the things that she was going through. Amen. Amen. You know, one thing that Ruth did was she never gave up. She never gave up. Amen. She didn't sit back and just let things happen in her life. She said, I got to get up from here. Amen. I know I had some bad experiences, but I have to get up from here, and I got to go do something to make life better. And in the process of her trying to make life better, God blessed her along the way. Now, let's talk about it. Now, in the first chapter, you'll find it talks about in the time of the judges, the time where men, God would raise up deliverers for Israel, because at that time, Israel did not have a king. Amen. They had people who God would raise up as judges, and they would become somewhat a figure of a savior for Israel. Because at that time, Israel had a habit of following God for a minute and then doing what they wanted to do the rest of the time. And because of their flip-flop behavior and because of their backslidden condition and their failure to be able to stay in the flow and in the path that God had set for them, they would constantly find themselves in trouble. And then God, they would call and cry out to God, and then God would raise up a judge. Amen. And that judge would be empowered with the ability and the Holy Spirit. He wouldn't come into their life or into their being, but he would come upon them to do some supernatural thing to deliver them from the hand of the oppressor and from the hand of the enemy. Amen. But this is what happened during the time of the judges. There was a famine in the land. Verse 1, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Amen. So they went to Moab. They went to another place so that they could get some food and have some shelter and be able to survive the famine. Now, when we talk about a famine is something that you don't want in your life. You don't want a famine spiritually, and you definitely don't want a famine physically. Amen? Because that means you go with a lot of lack. You go with a lot of lack if there's a famine. You lack food. You lack money. You lack a lot of things. Spiritually, you lack the ability to produce what God has for you to produce. You lack the ability to absorb the things that God may have for you because there's a famine. Maybe nothing is going through in your life, but a famine means that there are some hard times. There are some hardships, amen? And so since a famine brings hard times and hardships, we need to know that a famine can happen to us spiritually in our life, amen? So when we look at this, and I want you to pay attention because this is a very good story, and it is a cameo of a story about the Holy Spirit and the church, amen? Naomi represents the Holy Spirit. Ruth represents us, the church. All right? Now, the Bible says that when they got over to Moab, they found out that they had some things over there, but her husband died. Naomi's husband died. And now was left her and her two sons. They took women of Moab and they married them. And when they married them, 10 years they lived after this man died, and all of a sudden they died. Now, that sounds like not only is there bad times, hard times, there are some hardships, amen? So here it is, they got some heartbreak, some hardships, because they had a famine, and they left trying to escape the famine, and they ran into death. You think about that. You leave one place thinking that this place is going to be a blessing, and then you find hard times, hardships, and heartbreak in the place that you went to look for a blessing. Sometimes that happens in the life of a believer. Sometimes we make choices and then we end up on some hard times, some hardships, and some heartbreak. Amen. And so here it was Naomi now saying, you know what? I came over here because I thought this was going to be a blessing, but when I got over here, all it has brought me is bitterness. That's that word again. And so since it brought me bitterness, I might as well just go back to where I came from. I might as well leave here, the place where I thought I was being blessed, because I went after, first of all, they went after what would supply them something physically rather than staying in the spiritual place. Amen. First of all. So we can't always try to follow after what seems good for our flesh. Amen. Some things may seem good for our flesh, but in actuality, it's going to hurt us spiritually. It's going to do some damage to us. It's going to bring us some pain if we don't watch it. Amen. Now, there were people left in Judah that survived the famine. Amen. But here it was, they stayed over there, and they didn't just go and stay through the famine, but they stayed and made their life in that place. Amen. Now, check this out. Here it is. They now here's Naomi saying, I'm ready to go back to where I came from. They're going back to Bethlehem, Judah. Amen. Let's look at verse 13. Well, verse 12. She's telling them, she says, turn again, my daughters, and go your way. For I'm too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you wait or tarry for them till they are grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And that's how we feel sometimes. Feel like, well, God fighting against me. God's hand is against me. Amen. Now, she was telling them that because she was saying, you're going to wait for these sons. If I did get a husband, I'm too old for that. That's what she was saying. And what she was trying to let them know is in that day they had something that they would do that if a brother died, then the next brother would take up their wives and they would have a child and raise them up as a seed to their brother. That's what that was the tradition. That's what they did. Amen. And so she was telling them, I can't help you, so you might as well go your way. Verse 14 says, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And look at this. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Look at that. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Wow, that sounds like a commitment. Now, in the middle of her famine, she found herself committed. In the middle of her heartache and her pain, she found herself committed. Amen? She made a vow that she would follow her. Now, let's see. Let's go on a little further. She said, and when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking unto her. So they went until they came into Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all in the city was moved by them, about them, and they said, it is Naomi. They was glad to see her come back. Now notice where they went. In the time of famine, they went to Moab. But in the time of heartache, heart pain, or hardships, and heartache, they decided that they were going to return to Judah and happened to be in the place of Bethlehem. Now, all I'm saying is that there's a lesson here, that if Ruth was following Naomi, and Naomi is represented like the Holy Spirit in this, and Ruth is like the church, so when the church go through hard times, we need to learn how to go back to praise. And a particular place in praise where there's a word, because Bethlehem means the house of bread. And so we need to get to a place where there's a word so that whatever we're going through, when we get a word, it'll bring us to a place where we'll learn how to praise him. Amen. And so when we get to that place, look at this. And the people came about them and they said, it is Naomi. Now, Naomi's name meant pleasant. It meant pleasant. She was a pleasant woman. Amen. And the Bible even says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And you know that in unity, basically Psalm 133, it says that, and he said in unity is where God commanded the blessing. So God commands the blessing when we unify. God commands the blessing when we connect. Come on and say amen. Ruth connected to Naomi like we need to connect to the Holy Spirit. Wherever you go, I'll go. Romans 8 tells us that they that are led of the Spirit shall be called the what? Sons of God. And in other words, the inheritance that comes to a son comes because they follow the Spirit. And so when we follow the Spirit, we get something from following the Spirit. The Holy Spirit would not allow us to be empty-handed. The Holy Spirit would not allow us to be disappointed. We need to know that all the tribulation we go through, tribulation work, patience, patience, experience, and experience what? Hope, and we have a hope that maketh us not ashamed. What does that mean? It means that we will not be disappointed if we put hope in what God has said to us. So they leave where they were, the place that they were, and they get into a place spiritually, Bethlehem, the place of bread, the house of bread. They went to a house where there was some bread. And we know that bread represents the word of God. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the manna that came down from heaven. Amen. So that's what bread represents. He said, take this as my body. He broke the bread and he said, eat it. Amen. They did that in the house. And we need to know that we got to get in a place where there's bread. But you know one thing? I never understood how some people say, ooh, there's, boy, they got a word over there. But then they don't have no praising. Bethlehem is in Judah. So you can't have a word and not say nothing. If you eat some good food, you're going to talk about it. Amen. So here they were. In Bethlehem, they went back to the place, the house of bread. And it so happened to be in Judah, the place of praise. So in all that we go through, we need to make sure that we never lose our way and follow the Holy Spirit, because he will always lead you to the place of praise and to the house of bread. I do not care what you're going through. It's up to you to make the decision. Notice what happened. Oprah, she decided to go her own way. Naomi acted just as the Holy Spirit does. He gives you a choice. You have to choose. He says, go your way, do what you want to do. And she went back to where she came from, but Ruth said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to follow you wherever you go. I'm going to die wherever you die. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. And when we say that, when we make a commitment to the Holy Spirit, look what happened. She said, the Bible says that Naomi stopped talking to her. But she kept following. Even if you don't hear anything from God, if you made a commitment, you ought to still follow. If you made a commitment, you ought to say, I'm in it to win it. I'm here for the long haul. I'm here for the duration. I'm not going to stop because something happened. I'm not going to stop because I don't hear you talking anymore. But I'm going to follow you because he's going to lead you to the place of bread. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, we got to have some bread. Amen. Even the woman, the Syrophoenician woman, I think it's in the book of Luke where Jesus did the miracle. The Syrophoenician woman, she said she asked for Jesus to do something for her, to heal her child. And Jesus said, I can't give the bread of the children to the dogs. She answered wisely. She said, but does not the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table? That's how important it is for you to get the bread of life. That's how important it is for you to be in the house of bread, a place where there's a word. And Jesus said that he hadn't saw this kind of faith in Israel. He said, no, not in Israel. And he said that be it unto you. And so what happened was she got a word, and that's all she needed was a crumb. She got a word, a piece of bread from Jesus, the bread of life, and took it to her daughter. Her daughter was healed. And all I'm saying is that if we go through some things, we got to know how to get back to the house of bread. And while we're in the house, give God the praise because we're in the place of praise. Amen. They gathered around and they said, this is Naomi. Verse 20, look at this. Look at this. And some of us feel the same way Naomi felt. She says, Ruth 1 and 20 says, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. She said, don't call me pleasant, call me bitterness. Sometimes that's how we are. We are bitter because of the things that have happened in our life. She was bitter because she had to go through a famine that made her have to leave her land and her house. Well, you know it's something if a woman have to leave her house. She was bitter because of the death of her husband, the death of her sons, and then they didn't have no children. She had no grandchildren. She was a woman by herself, she thought. That's what she thought. And she said, don't call me pleasant because I'm not so pleasant anymore. I'm bitter because God done this to me. Amen. Sometimes we get that way. But notice this. If you read this whole book, you never find where they called her Mara. They kept calling her Naomi. I don't care what goes on in your life and how bad you feel. To God and to others, you will always be what God wants you to be. Amen. Now, you can let bitterness overtake you, but God has a name for you. Don't label yourself and don't let others label you to limit you. Amen. But we have to know that we have to be what God called us to be. Amen. 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 And so let's see if we can make the story short so I can get to the other stuff I have to say. Chapter 2, verse 2 says, or we can look at verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go into the field and glean ears of corn after him whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Look at this. She was a grown woman, but asking permission from the old woman to go find grace. We have to get to the place where we talk to the Holy Ghost. And even though we have things that we want to do in our heart and in our mind, we have to talk to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will direct us. Notice what she said. She already knew what to do. She said, let me go. She said this, that and glean from the field in the field of the one I shall find grace. Now, the Holy Spirit will always direct you to grace. Always direct you to the place where you will not have done anything to obtain the favor, but the favor of God will be given to you because of his direction. The Holy Spirit always gives you direction, and his direction is always going to be in the direction of grace. Now, we can sit back in bitterness. We can sit back in hurt, disappointment, and not want to go forward. But the Holy Spirit will make you go forward. That's why Paul said, forgetting those things behind and reaching forth to what's before me. And what's before me is in Christ Jesus. He is the epitome of grace. Amen. And so when we look at that, he says, she tells her, she said, go thy way, my daughter. So she says that whose sight I shall find grace. She said, I want to glean ears of corn after him. I want to follow him. I want to go to his field. I want to glean in his yard. I want to go in his property. Amen. So that I can get grace in his sight, because he's Boaz. He's a wealthy man and he's a good man. Amen. Verse 3, and she went and came into the and gleaned the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. Look at where he came from. He came from a place of bread, a house of bread. He came, the reason why he was so gracious, and you'll find in the story, is because he had been eating the bread. You find people that eat the word of God. That's why some people can't be nice. And they are always full of salt and bitterness. It's because they haven't eaten the word. Because if you have a taste of the Lord, you'll find that he's gracious. And when you find that he's gracious, if you eat enough word and the word becomes alive in you, then you become gracious. You want, oh, come on and say amen. You want to always be bitter. You won't always be mad and angry with everybody, amen? But you'll find yourself lightening up, and you'll find yourself giving grace to the hearer and speaking grace to the hearer. I wish I had somebody. You'll find yourself with joy and not even know how to explain the joy that you have. And so she went to reap or to glean from his field behind the reapers. In other words, she was back there, just whatever they would leave behind that they didn't think was good, she would pick those parts up, and she'd try to make something of it. Amen? And then, behold, Boaz, verse 4, came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. Look at that. He came from the house of bread, started talking about the Lord be with you. Amen? And the servants answered him and said, the Lord bless thee. And then Boaz said unto the servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Who woman that is? And the servant that was over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you let me glean and go after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and had continued even from the morning until now. She tarried a little in the house. Then Boaz said unto Ruth, here's thou, my daughter. Go not out and glean another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. He said, look, now she already spoke it. She already, that's what we mess up at. We, Lord, I don't know, well, maybe so. No, she said, I shall find grace. Boaz shows up, and something about her catches his attention. Now, you know, the devil know who you are, and people will know who you are, and you may not even know who they are. But something about you will catch their attention because of the God that's in you. Amen? And all of a sudden, now he wants to be nice to her because she already spoke a word before she left because she had a talk with the Holy Ghost, with Naomi. But that's what we got to get to. We got to learn how to pray and talk and communicate. But if you, that's what the devil wants. He wants us to shut up. When we are hurt and our heart is aching, he wants us to stay in Moab. He does not want us in Judah where we can praise. He does not want us in the house of bread where we can get stronger. He does not want us to communicate with the Holy Spirit where we can get guidance. But she did all of these things, and look at what she ended up. She ended up in the field. Now, she could have went to another field and another field, but Boaz said, wait a minute. I don't want you going to nobody else's field. I want you to stay in mine, not knowing that this is a setup. But he said, I want you to stay in mine. Now, who, all she was doing was picking up the scraps. Now, why would that be important to a wealthy man like Boaz? The only reason why is because God had some plan here. And what we got to see is that in spite of what we go through, God is still sovereign. And he always, God is not like us. We don't plan for nothing. We wing it if we can. But God has a plan for it. He's already, the Bible says this, that he declared the end at the beginning. He already said it. All she did was repeat what God had already said, even though she didn't know it at the moment. And so if God has already said it, and if God in his mind has already done, how come we doubt? If God has already said it, and he's already done it, in his mind, it's already done. That's why faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I got evidence, but you can't see it. But I know it's real. It's real to me. Amen. I know that God said it. I know that God has done it already. Do you know that before there was light, God already said that there was going to be light? Amen. Before there was man, he already had man planned out in his mind. God already had this stuff in place. He already knew who was going to be what. He's sovereign. I often like to say, how things happen. God knew what Moses would be when he put that bush burning. He knew what to do with Joseph. We can't get mad with Joseph's brothers that put him in the pit, but that was a reason. God let them feel the way they felt about him to put him in the pit. But, you know, all the way back to, I often talk about how, we talk about how Abraham made a mistake with Ishmael. There wasn't no mistake. That was God's plan. Because if it had been for the, who was it that pulled Joseph out of the pit and took him to Egypt? It was the Ishmaelites. If there wasn't Ishmaelites, the great-grandsons of Ishmael that showed up and pulled Joseph out of the pit and took him, then they wouldn't have been preserved during the famine. And he wouldn't have never became second in charge in Egypt. He says, now, let's look at verse 9. He said, don't leave my field in verse 8. Verse 9, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch you? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. He says, your eyes be on the field. In other words, whatever you see, whatever you desire in the field, go ahead over there. He said, your eyes, God will give you the desires of your heart. Now, what we got to understand is this. The Holy Spirit is who? Spirit Naomi. Ruth is us. So who's Boaz? Jesus. Because he said, I've instructed them not to touch you. He said, touch not my, or not do my prophet no harm. Jesus is our what? Protection. He's the fence all around us. Boaz is a wealthy man. Jesus, all the cattle on the hill, all the silver, all the gold belongs to him. And so he's the protector. And look at what he said. He says that I'm going to make sure that they don't touch you. Amen. Then he tells them, he says, you can go after them, make sure they don't touch you. He said, if you get thirsty, go drink from what they've drawn. You don't have to draw it yourself. But I got water that you don't have to draw. He will water you. He'll put water in your dry places. He said, if you drink from me, you'll never